You may want to turn to 1 Kings, the second chapter, starting with verse 1. This sort of builds on our Wednesday night class with Richard Hoyt. We're doing an in-depth, detailed study of Chronicles, Kings, Samuel. And we have gotten to the point, and this is where we were on Wednesday night, of David's death. And I think it's important for us to talk about this right now. I've heard some things said about Jim Harris Savage passing that I think are inconsistent with what the Bible teaches us about our death. And there is a huge, 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 huge difference between what Jesus taught about death and what we see in the world, and even what we see in the old law. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I am about to go the way of the earth, he said. So be strong. Show yourself a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. Watch how they live. And if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and with all their soul, you will never have to have a man on the throne of Israel. You will always have a man on the throne of Israel. You know, I think that's a mentality that a lot of people in the church have, and that's unfortunate. Because the Christian system is so radically different about death. And now maybe it's a difficult subject, I don't know, but we certainly have all been focused on it with Jim's passing. Well, we will all die. We have a common destiny. We all know about Revelation 20 and verse 12, where the Bible says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of the life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. That's a look way ahead. But in the Old Testament, there was the same kind of admonition. I want you to listen to this passage from Isaiah, especially the last part of it. This is Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. Now listen to this. And provide for those who grieve, and bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the out of gladness instead of in mourning. Jeff Easter, who some of you who watch Bill Gaither will recognize, has a song about a sister called A Going Away Party, in which he talks about a celebration because a sister has gone to be with Jesus, something she has looked forward to all her life. I think you could put Jim in that song. And I think it's so important for us to understand that What we're reading about here in Kings is a great man on his deathbed. He knew he was about to die, verse 2. And he did not know what was beyond. You realize that in the Old Testament, there was no view of what happens after you die. And so what did David do? Well, we all know what he did. Remember this? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod, by the way, is something that holds you up, and a staff is a defense weapon. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And his faithfulness gave dignity to his dying hour. You know, hospice says has a thing that I think is kind of interesting. She said, we can change the way people live by changing the way they die. You think about that statement. It's an important statement for us. And those of you that know me know that I have a great love for music. I love gospel music. And I love good country music. One of the great stories in country music is a song by Tim McGraw, which is titled, Live Like You Were Dying. And some of you may know the history there. His father, Tug McGraw, baseball player, was dying of a brain tumor. And Tim wrote this song with Craig Wiseman and Tim Nichols. I want you to listen to this lyric. Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Like tomorrow was a gift. And you have eternity to think about what to do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? James 4, beginning with verse 13, the writer says, now listen, those of you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Well, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Think of how many people we have had vanish in recent years. No longer with us. I started writing them down. Carl Tarrant, Leonard Backus, Madge, Harris Savage, Wanda Crist, Joe Lynn, Donna Pickens. I started writing them down. I didn't have enough paper. We have had so many. But we can know what it means. Death is not a mystery. Let me say that again. Death is not a mystery for Christians. We're not like David. We know what lies ahead. We understand the blessings of being a Christian, especially at the point of death. James 2 and verse 26 says, the body without the spirit is dead, lifeless. You know, I don't think I really ever understood that passage until I stood at the side of my wife's bed as she lay there, dead. I touched her, she was cold. She wasn't there anymore. The body without the spirit is dead, cold, lifeless. You see, as Christians, that's not where it ends. Ronnie Don, we try that again. Ronnie Dunn, some of you will remember Brooks and Dunn. By the way, Ronnie Dunn is a member of the church. He has a song, "You Can't Tell Me It All Ends in a Slow Ride in a Hearse." We know that, don't we? We understand that as Christians. We understand. But even Solomon, in all his wisdom, didn't understand. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. That's Solomon's speak. John 5, beginning with verse 28. Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Romans 14, verse 12 says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. But we have hope. As Christians, we are different than any other religious system on the planet, different even than the Old Testament. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, this grace has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death. See, the death that David talked about is not what Christians are involved with. That's not what our spirit is about. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We can rejoice in this. Have you ever thought about Acts 8, verse 32 through 37, when the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized? The Bible says he went on his way rejoicing, verse 39. Why? Because he realized death was not the ultimate evil. But we have a choice. We need to ponder this. Acts 2, verse 37, when Peter preached that gospel sermon, the Bible tells us, he said, repent and be baptized so your sins may be forgiven. And then it says, those who accepted his message were baptized and had the hope of the Christian. But what that tells us is there were those who did not accept his message. I've been speaking here for 25 years. There have been those who have rejected the message that I have presented. And they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting God. Because all of our lessons have come from God's word. I guess the question comes to you this morning. Will you accept the message? Or, like some, will you continue to rely upon the same things that David had to rely upon? Even in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, do not rely upon tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring. David wanted others to prepare for their death. Did you catch what he said? Verse 2 and 3. So be strong. Show yourself a man. See, that's the Old Testament idea, isn't it? That's why people fell on their swords. That's why there was so much war and death and so many things that happened, even to good people. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, keep his decrees, his commands, his laws and requirements. See, that's what the population around us understands Christianity to be, and it's wrong. It's not just keeping a bunch of laws. It's not just having a bunch of requirements. David was concerned about his son's welfare. And he knew what was at stake. Did you catch that phrase? If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart. Those are big ifs, aren't they? Didn't happen, did it? But he said, if that happens, with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. See, God's promises are conditional. God's grace is conditional. The idea that God's going to forgive everybody, no matter what they did, from Adolf Hitler to Mao Zedong? No. God's promises are conditional. In 2 John 4, we read, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. See, being a Christian is not being perfect. It's not worldly. It's not following a bunch of rules. May I call your attention to the fact that without God, there is no hope. Without God, there is no hope in a time like this. Ephesians 2 and verse 12 says, remember that in the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from a citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise without hope and without God in the world. I want you to think about something. If you don't have hope, then all you can hope for is nothing. I'll explain that in just a minute, but do you follow me here? Without hope, all we can hope for is nothing. That when you die, you will never wake up. See, if you don't have the hope that Jesus Christ offers, then when you approach death, the most you can hope for is nothing. To never wake up, to never be conscious. I've had more than one atheist say to me, no, I sure hope I don't see you again after I die. I say, yeah, I know right where you're coming from. All you can hope for is nothing. And when I presented that to my mother, she said, I don't want to be an atheist anymore. Psalms 486 and verse 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may respect your name. See, people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 talks about the church. It's not talking about a building. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's not, you spend a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears cleaning this facility. That my wife spent days out there working on the outside so the people that drive by on the highway can see that the front of our building looks better than it ever has. That as people come in the parking lot, they can see what Lane has done with the flower boxes out there. But the church is not a building. We're not a denomination. That's not our choice. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 4, says there is one body, one spirit, as you were called to, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You know, to be lost eternally is not just like missing a ball game. The difference between us as Christians and David is we know. We know what happens when we die. You know, I feel sorry for Brother Jim Harris Savage and the pain he went through by what I think was the failing of the medical establishment. I don't feel sorry for Jim in any way, shape, or form because I know where he is and what his situation is. And he did live as though he was dying. It's been less than a year that he stood here and spoke to us. It's been less than 2 years since he was working on these windows. But I feel enormous pain for Brenda, for his kids, for Larry Brewer, for those who knew him and loved him. See, it's us left behind that bear the pain of death. So for Jim, it was a going away party, to go back to Jeff Easter's song. He finally is free of all the stuff that oppressed him in life. He can eat all the wheat he wants. He doesn't have to worry about all of the difficulties that he had with his diet. That's the Christian view. Romans 5 says it this way. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, but God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by God's wrath to him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We have that promise. The difference between Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christianity and every other system out there, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, you name all, in Christ we understand the dying is beginning of something far better. A going away party. And we are baptized into Christ to come in contact with his blood and with his death. Romans 6 says it so well. Or do you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We will certainly be reunited with him in his resurrection. And I guess the question comes down to every one of us today. Are we ready to die? Do we as Christians understand that the death that we will experience is something better than anything we can possibly visualize or understand? We sang a wonderful song, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus care when we said goodbye to the dearest of earth? Oh yeah, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with our grief. See, it's not the person that has passed away, it's our grief. Oh yes, he cares. And our invitation song, our closing song today, safe in the arms of Jesus. Are you safe in the arms of Jesus? Are you ready to die? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you living as Christ has called you to live? If you need assistance with that, we stand here to serve you and to help you. Be sure. And so as we stand together and as we sing, would you respond to the Lord's invitation or contact us? And we will be more than happy to assist you.